That's good. Appreciate Miss Danielle Wood, one of our new members, one of our new teachers. I believe she teaches sixth grade, something along that. And so third, fifth, sixth, 12th, seventh grade. Come on, Joshua. Come on. Okay, make sure. And but man, what amazing. I have never seen a church with as much talent in it. Literally, if like 90% of us die, there's still going to be a singer and a piano player left. And we're thankful for that, aren't we, Miss Linda, to take some of our slack? And I remember when Miss Linda was the backup, ultimate backups. And we were singing once a week because we were backups. And so it's good to see all the good talent the Lord has blessed us with. I'm telling you, Heritage Baptist Church is a unique church. And if you don't believe that, go visit other churches, but don't do it. Just say you do it, but just don't do it. Visit them online in your off time, all right? Nehemiah chapter 6. And we're going to look at the Word of God tonight, Nehemiah chapter 6. I appreciate you being on here on the Wednesday night. I know, commend you for being here on the Wednesday night. We're going to read a very familiar story and probably nothing new tonight. But we want to look at just a portion of chapter 6. We'll look at the majority of chapter 6 tonight. And talking about Nehemiah building the walls, he and the Jews building the wall. And of course, you know, in chapter 1, Jeremiah had heard that the walls were tore down, that they were the gates were burned. And it began to burden his heart so much that he asked for permission to go see it. And of course, when his eyes affected his heart, and it came back and had even a greater burden. And through the process of time, he ended up getting permission to go, and matter of fact, getting the funds to go, and permission to go cut down trees, and all these things. And God had blessed Nehemiah because he had a burden. But you know what? There's more to having a burden than just having a burden. There's having a burden and putting feet to it. And so many times we can have a burden for something, and we should have, right? We should have a burden for missions, but some people have such a burden for missions they go. And we're glad they go. That's why we have missions conference. I'm looking forward to the next week, this Sunday, as we start missions conference. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, I lost my calendar of last year or the year before, whenever, and I didn't know who I'd scheduled. Had no idea. I looked through emails come through. I said, well, I'm just going to get new missionaries. And today, one of the missionaries standing in the back, he said, hey, I'm ready for a missions conference. I was like, oh, you're coming? Okay, that's an extra missionary. So if there's extra missionaries here Sunday, it's because of me. And I'll pay for the extra, but hey, can you have too many missionaries? So anyway, it's going to be good. It's going to be awesome. But he had a burden, and of course he goes. And I want you to notice, as they begin to build this wall back, and we understand that Ezra come in and rebuilt the temple. Now we see that Nehemiah is building the walls to protect Jerusalem. But as you do something for the Lord, always know Satan's going to send his forces to hinder that work, because he hates the work of the Lord. And it says in verse 1, it says, now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that they builded the walls and that there were no breaches left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, then Sanballat the Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. And here's the title of my message tonight. Why should the work cease? Why should the work cease? Whilst I leave it and come down to you. By the way, anytime you give in to Satan and his enemies, you're going downward, right? You're going downward to their level. You're going downward. Remember when Jonah, he left the presence of God, so he thought. And the Bible says, and he went down to Joppa, right? And then he went further away, and it says, and he went down into the ship. He just kept going further down and further down. And that's, by the way, to step off of God's will and do anything else is a step down. And that's what we're going to see in this scripture. Notice verse 4. And they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them the same manner, no. And then in verse 5, it says, then Sanballat and his servants unto me, in like manner, the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand. Ooh, open letter, scary. right? We're not just saying, hey, come meet me. Now we have an open letter. Now we have the pink slip, right? And he says in verse 6, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Geshem saith it, that the Jews think to rebel, for which cause they buildeth the walls. I'm trying to talk like him in case you didn't know that. That's my radio voice. That thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach. He's saying you have false prophets going around preaching that you're going to be king. That's what he's fixing to say. To preach to Jerusalem, saying there is a king in Judah. And now shall report it to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. He says, you need to come and we need to meet together because we don't need you guys building this wall and creating your own kingdom. Verse 8 says, then I sent unto him a letter back. This feels like when you ever got the letter from the HOA. Now, we have driven by your house, oddly, and sat in your front yard and took pictures. You have weeds in your grass. I remember getting those. I'm glad I'm not in HOA no more. Those are nothing but Nazi organizations. I don't care what you say. You pay them to hire lawyers to defend them, basically what you're doing. I always send them letters back. I noticed in our park we have weeds in it too, and there's bugs floating in our pool. Please take care of that, and then I'll take care of mine. Anyway, I don't use your pool anyway. Ugh. Verse, I don't even know where I'm at anymore. I've done this all day long. I've taught 5 hours today out of Norris. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. Verse 8, back there. Then I sent unto them, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou framest them in thy own heart. In other words, you made these things up. He says, verse 9, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shimei, the son of Deliah, and the son of that person there, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God, wherein the temple. Now, they're trying to make this religious. And let us shut the doors of the temple. For they will come to slay thee, yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee, and who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And also, lo, P.S., this is the P.S. on his letter. Also, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he had pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to their words, and on the prophetess Noiah, and the rest of the prophets, that they have put me in fear. Now tonight we'll look at that phrase, why should the work cease, after we pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I need your help tonight. As I yield to you, to your word, to your will tonight, to the Holy Spirit, would you preach to us through your word. Father, I know that there's somebody here tonight that needs this word as much as I do. And so, Lord, help us to be attentive. Help us to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to go back to verse 1 and notice a phrase in there, because really Nehemiah starts this off by saying, look, Sanballat comes in. And notice what he says. He says, and the rest of our enemies. And the rest of our enemies. In chapter 5, you can see, chapter 4, we'll look here in a minute. But in chapter 4, you're going to see here in a little bit that this taunting from Sanballat and Tobiah begins. They're taunting them, and they're trying to get them to stop this work, not necessarily because it's infringing upon them, but because they are their enemies. Now remember, especially Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem were all Samaritans. They were of the leaders of the Samaritans. Remember, the Samaritans hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Samaritans. And so the Samaritans at this time were really at a great number, and they did not want to see this temple, and they did not want to see these walls completed. And so the best way they knew how, they were going to try to go and stop this work that Nehemiah was doing. But can I remind you that it is a work of the Lord and not a work of man? A work of man will cease, but a work of God will not. The work of God will go on and will go on. That's why we still talk about Paul today, because Paul's works was not a work of Paul. They were a work of God. And that's why we're still talking about him today. That's why we still talk about Spurgeon today. That's why we still talk about D.L. Moody and all these great preachers of yesterday. Why? Because it wasn't them. It was the work of the Lord that they were doing. Now, notice also, I want you to notice some things. How does the enemy try to stop the work? I want to give you three things. Number one, by discouragement. By discouragement. Now go to chapter 4, if you will. Chapter 4. And I want you to notice what Sanballat and Tobiah do here to try to discourage the work of the Lord. There are too many Christians who are discouraged to do the work of the Lord. The discouragement, I would say, is one of the greatest key factors in the hindering the work of the Lord in today's modern-day ministries. People are so discouraged all over this world. And there's a reason why, and we'll see this here in a little bit. Look at, if you will, chapter 4, verse 1. It says, but it came to pass when that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of the Samaria, and said, what do these, notice this word, feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? In other words, can they find an end to this? By the way, in 52 days they were going to find an end to this, because it was the Lord's work. I can't even build a picnic table in 52 days. Right? Notice what it says, we'll make an end of a day. And it says, and will they revive the stones of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? I love what Tobiah says here. He's really mocking the Amorite. Was by him, and he said, even if which they build, if a fox go up, that's how he talked. I heard a recording of him. He shall break even down their stone walls. Let them build it. But even if they build it, they're not contractors. They don't know what they're doing. Even if they build this wall, it's going to fall down even if a fox walks on it. Now go over to, if will, verse 8. It says, and they conspired all of them. Notice that. And they conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem. And here's the thing. And to hinder it. To hinder the building of this wall. And how did they do that? And sometimes discouragement comes by people picking on you. Sometimes discouragement comes by people telling you you can't do something for the Lord. Sometimes discouragement comes whenever there are enemies that are surrounding you and you feel like you're the only one doing the right thing. Listen, sometimes discouragement sets in, and that's how the enemy works. If he can get you discouraged, then guess what happens when you go over to verse 10 and you read down to verse 10 and verse 11, you'll see that discouragement, not only it didn't hit Nehemiah, but it hit the workers. The workers said, wait a minute, we are getting a little weak. And wait a minute, our adversaries are great. And they begin to get discouraged themselves. There is nothing like a church when people are discouraged. By the way, every church goes through those phases of discouragement, right? You know why I figured this out. Write her down. You know why discouragement happens to us? Because we have ungodly expectations or unbiblical expectations, right? Sometimes, even as pastoring churches and things, we think, boy, I'm going to go in there and I'll pastor that church. That thing's going to grow. Everything's going to happen. Boom, we're going to have money. We're going to build buildings, and boom. 10 years later, that still hadn't happened. And guess what? A pastor's discouraged. Instead of going into a church, and I believe you ought to have a vision and things like that, but you ought to say, as James tells us, what is our life is but a vapor. And don't say that I'll do this and this, but say, if God will. Right? If God will, and God would allow us. And we set our expectations according to God. And by the way, He can do anything. And we must live inside of His will. In order not to be discouraged, we have to put all of our faith and all of our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in His will for our life. I was discouraged growing up because I wanted to be 6'7". Didn't make it. Put bricks on my feet and hung myself, from the goalpost. No, I didn't do that. I wanted to be 6'7". I don't know why I wanted to be 6'7". Well, just a weird figure. As I looked at my parents, and they're all 5 foot nothing, I go, I don't think there's no hope for me, right? I should have been born in the Reed Day family. And But, you know, I had great expectations of my life, down through life. And listen, the times I was at my greatest discouragement in my life is when I said, Michael Wiggins, you can do this. Michael Wiggins, this is what you need to do, instead of saying, God, I want you to work through my life. And he takes away the discouragement. We have great pictures of people who were discouraged. Even Elijah was so greatly discouraged. Jonah was greatly discouraged because things didn't go his way. We must allow God to work in our life. Number two, I want you to notice this. How does the enemy work? He works through discouragement, but also he works through disillusionment, right? He works through the sleight of hand. See, the devil sometimes tries to maybe not totally destroy us, but what he does is that he tries to get us so confused and so disillusioned in our lives is that we don't know which way we're going. A prophet actor was hired by Sanballat and Tobiah in our story. Why was that? So that he could appear to be somebody who was godly. To appear to be somebody who was religious. To come in and to stop the work of the Lord. By the way, everybody, and we'll talk about this here a little bit later. Everybody that comes to you is not people who want to help you. Does that make sense? Sometimes Satan sends people your way also to maybe they look good and maybe they smell good and maybe they even talk well, and but yet God is not working through them. God or Satan is working through them in your life, trying to get you off track. The enemy always likes to use the sleight of hands. I've never been good at that. You ever try to slip a coin behind somebody's ear? I can do it if the kids are like really, really little and they know no better. And you always hate when the other bigger kids are around. He had it in his hand. Go sit in the corner. Right? But, you know, there's some people, boy, they can, you know, make things disappear. Like, whoa, where'd it go? And, you know, things like that. And sometimes that's the way Satan does in our life. Sometimes he gets us so disillusioned in our life and he gets us so disoriented in our life that we don't know what's going on. And that what happens in that illustration is, or in that instance is we get discouraged. You ever rode on a, remember we used to have the merry-go-rounds before kids got too soft for that, right? And I remember I got knocked out on one in the back here. I won't name any names. Somebody thought it'd be a great idea as we were spinning them really fast on the back to stick their arm out with a cell phone and hit me. They were trying to hand it to me, but they were going Mach 50 back there and stuck their hand out in the cell phone. All I remember is because their camera was on. You see him coming around, we slowed it down, and it hits me, and I just go, boom, and next shot is me laying on the ground, my glasses kind of sideways. If I wouldn't have been wearing glasses, it would have been really bad. But, you know, you get on there, and then you get off, what do? You're disoriented, right? You're in a state where you don't know where you're at, and sometimes Satan wants to just spin us. And by the way, sometimes that's him just getting us busy doing just dumb things and not doing the work of the Lord. But the third thing tonight, how does the enemy work? Not only does he work through discouragement and disillusionment, but also he works through dismay. He tries to get us dismayed. What does that word mean? Had to find a dis word. So that word means to use fear. It means to frighten. Three times in this chapter, in verses 19, verses 13, and verse 13 and verse 14, two times he says, we were afraid. On the fourth instance in verse 14, he said, and we fear. Because, see, sometimes the enemy, the way the enemy comes and he wants to take over our life, he starts very easily in discouragement, tries to discourage us, tries to get us disillusioned in things that sometimes we get messed up in life and get our eyes off of Christ. But the last thing that he does, he uses the fear factor. He uses the fear tactic in our life to scare us and to try to get us to quit the work of the Lord. And I used to preach another message in this scripture. And I love chapter 7, but I also love chapter 6 when he says that we're in Ono. And I used to preach a message, and it's written in my Bible, oh no, I can't go to Ono. And it's pretty good wording there, you know. But basically, here's what Nehemiah said. I cannot come down because I'm doing a great work. The enemy said, oh really? Get the army together. We're coming in. Nehemiah begins to see, matter of fact, in chapter 6, you also see that the people say, look, we begin to see the armies. We begin to see the adversary coming. What do? Nehemiah says, we just do what we're called to do. Listen, we may look outside the walls of these church and outside the walls of our ministries that God has put us in, and we may see a crazy world. Can I get a witness? We see people that have gone bazonkers. I'm telling you, we see a world that has just lost their minds. And we live in a society today where there's no morality anymore, there's no courtesy anymore, there's no servant attitudes anymore. It's all about me. And we can get discouraged and we can get dismayed over all the things that are happening. We get disillusioned. But that is when Satan comes in and he begins to work in our life. And Satan wants, matter of fact, God told Joshua three times. He told Joshua, he said, Joshua, he said this. He said, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, wheresoever thou goest. Three times he told Joshua, Joshua, you're going to take over this babysitting job of the children of Israel. Basically, that's what it was. You're going to take over leadership position for Moses. And as Joshua looks out at this crowd, he says, whoa, wow, this is a scary looking congregation you're giving me. And God told him, he said, Joshua, be strong and of good courage and be not dismayed. In other words, don't be scared of this. Why? Because he said, I will fight for you. You see, we can look out the world, our knees can start knocking, or we can just say, you know what, it's in God's control. God has this in control. Tonight I want to give you these things and say, how do we keep the work going? How do we keep the work going? Because Nehemiah said this. Nehemiah said, why should the work cease? Well, how are we going to keep the work going? How are we going to let the work go on for the Lord? Number one, I'm going to tell you, it's determination. Determination. In verse 3, here's what Nehemiah said. I cannot come down. I'm not coming down. I'm not going to do it. Five times he had to tell him, no, I'm not coming down. 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 I said, no, I'm not coming down. That's determination. You see, remember when Samson had Delilah and he was laying in her lap, and the Bible says she pressed him daily. Every day she asked him, Samson, big boy, my hunk of burning love, my long-haired hippie, whatever she called him. She says, tell me wherein lieth thy strength. Man, you're so strong. First day he says, no, not telling you. He lied to her, right? And the days go on, and the days go on. The Bible says she pressed him daily, and finally he gave in. Why? Because he was not determined. You see, you got to determine in your heart. And this is why I really, really goes good for youth too, is they're going to be pressed on every side. They just got to be determined to serve God. But that also goes for us. It goes for us to be determined to serve God and not to come down and not to give in and not to get distracted by the things of this world and just be determined as Nehemiah was and just say, listen, I'm not coming down. I'm not stopping this work. Hey, I tell the students out at Norris all the time. We got about four or five of them here tonight, so I got to behave a little bit. or maybe I don't. But I tell them all the time, and I may have said it today, is me and one of the students was talking because one of our students didn't come back, blah, blah, blah. And I always say, you know what happens every year? They get offered a bigger promotion, a better job. You know what? Sometimes that's not the will of God. For a student that needs to, if they're called and God's called them to go to a Bible college or wherever God's called them, Satan's going to try to get in there and he's going to try to get them discouraged. He's going to try to get them disillusioned. He's going to try to get them dismayed in what they're doing. And what he does a lot of times, I've been out at Norris for a long time and I know this, and Pastor Crawford's been out there longer than I have, and he could tell you, is that it seems like we lose students every year because they got offered, if you'll quit school, I'll give you this position. Well, to a college student who's making, well, back in the day, before California took over, they were making $8 an hour. Now you make $15 an hour at McDonald's, which is weird to me. Could they act like they get paid $15 an hour? Can I get a witness right there? Yeah, it's all right, people. Y'all can say amen. Some of y'all hadn't been to McDonald's, have you? I was there this morning. But you look at the world today, and for a young person who's making whatever amount and somebody's willing to double that, listen, if they're not determined, they'll take that. We must be careful in that, be determined. I got some people looking at me across that. Moving on. Number two. How's the work keep going? Determination. Number two, discernment. You know what Nehemiah had in verse 12? I love what he says. He says, I perceive that God have not sent him. Nehemiah had discernment. One of the hardest things I think in my life is discerning, is this God or is it not? I tell people all the time, I wish God would just come down one day and go, Michael Wiggins, I want you to go pastor, blah, blah, blah. I want you to go do this, and here's the address, and here's the date I want you to go. Yes, Lord, I'll go. He never worked like that in my life. He always comes in threes for me. I've told you all this story 100 times. Whenever I was going to leave the church there in Burnet, Texas, I just, in my heart, I just knew that I was done. The people knew that we were done. We had been there 3.5 years, and just the church was in a mess, and the Lord had been good, and church was back on its feet, and we felt like it was a good time to leave. And I never forget, I told my wife, I said, well, I think the Lord's done with us here. I said, well, just see what the Lord has for us. A week later, I believe it was a week later, I got a phone call from my brother. He says, hey, the director of the Boys and Girls Home wants you to come and take over the Boys and Girls Home. Well, us in Missouri, they have like 100 head of cattle, like 500 acres of land. A river runs through the back of the property. I've watched the movie, A River Runs Through It. It looked pretty good. I was like, oh yeah, that sounded good. I had a church over in Palestine call me and say, hey, we'd like for you to come and if you would, candidate for our church. I'm like, well, okay. I talked to a few people about that one. And then Brother Crawford calls me out of the blue and says, hey, have you ever thought about working for me again? And he tells the story. I laughed at him. I said, no, I'm good. Not that I didn't like Brother Crawford. It's just like, I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Good. Not. So Brother Crawford says, well, we're having revival. Would you come? I was headed up to Missouri to look at the boys' girls' home. I'd already talked to the church in Palestine, whatever it's called. And I talked to some men, and the church was not in position. I was like, no, that's not God's will. But I was like, Missouri is. I'm going to wear overalls every day of my life. I was like, I'm wearing my boots, my cowboy hat. I'm dealing with cattle. They had every animal known. They had the chicken farms and all these things. I was like, man, I'll be a farmer and in the ministry. Hallelujah. Had two tractors. I forgot to tell you all that. Four-wheelers. It was God's will. I knew it. But there was Brother Crawford still nagging me. Hey, why don't you come by and sing for the revival meeting? Brother, I never forget, Bob Smith was preaching revival for you guys over in the first building. And I said, sure. I was going up to Missouri. I said, I'll swing right by and I'll sing for the revival. I go out to Missouri. We step out there and I was like, this is it. About 2 hours into it, I saw the director dealing with the kids. I could deal with the land. I just don't like kids. Figured that out pretty quick. Adult kids, right? I told my wife, I couldn't deal with this. I was like, me either. All of a sudden, that river looked yucky, and the tractor looked like it's broke down. The cattle all looked like they had the mange. I was like, man, this place is nasty. And to smelt the chicken coops, I was like, man, who would want to live in here? And they had turkey homes, and my brother worked there. He smelled like turkeys and chickens all his life. I was like, my soul, I got to get out of here. I couldn't wait to get back. I come back through Hazlett, Texas, and I'd come driving in here, and I go, nope, this is not, I don't want to be an associate pastor. I don't want to work for a pastor again. Sat in the first service and cried. I said, my soul. What am I going to do? My wife said, this is where God wants us. I know that. Yes. Yes. And I, of course, I'm boo-hooing. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. I was like a kid. Not going to do it. You know? Not going to make me. Yeah, I don't say that to God because he will. And almost 11 years later, I'm here. And I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Right? And I'm telling you, just the way God works things out is amazing. And it wasn't me, listen, but I'm glad that God gave me discernment to know that, yeah, Missouri looked good. It's kind of like, you know, when you get the hotel or get on the internet and you go, man, it's a nice hotel. And you get there and you go, is this the same place? You know, I didn't bring my gun with me and raid and a mousetrap with me, right? The facade was there, right? You ever stayed in those? By the way, I'm all over the place tonight. Let's just enjoy it. Move on. Discernment. Discernment says I hush and go on. Discernment. By the way, the Lord helped him discern what was God's will and what's not. And listen, one of the hardest things in your life is allowing God to help you discern whether it's God's will or not. Because you want to know how we discern things? Is it more pay? Is it bigger? And do I get something out of it? And sometimes God's will is not that. Sometimes God's will is we're going to be broke. we're going to be really broke. But my soul, we're going to be happy. We're going to have joy in our life. And I want to show you the last thing that helped him the work keep going. Not only did he have determination and discernment, but he had devotion. You know what Nehemiah had? He had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I love how he just interjects. I just want to throw this in there. Verse 9, at the end of verse 9, he just throws a little small prayer in there. He says, "Oh God, strengthen my hands." You want to know why I think he said that? Because he had devotion to God. See, he didn't have to open up the prayer, "Now our Father," which are, he didn't have to do that. He just said, "Oh God, strengthen my hands," because he had devotion with God. When you have devotion with God, and that simply means you're keeping the communication lines open, and you're attracted to God and all of His goodness and glory, and you're just staying in contact with Him, listen, you'll cry out to Him that God would give you power, and that the work would not cease, and that God would help you, and that He is your strength, and that He's your guide. So many times the work stops because we don't have the determination. Sometimes the work of God stops because we don't have discernment and we take a wrong turn. And listen, I always tell my wife, I said, I'm scared to death one day that I'm going to make the wrong decision for my family. And I've led my family all the way from Florida to here to Georgia to back to Florida, back to Alabama, and back here. I mean, I thank God. I believe all of that was God's will, except for probably evangelism. I just paid off evangelism. That was 16 years ago. I may have stepped out of God's will there because I got in debt. But I will tell you this, is that God's used every place I went. And God's allowed me to see a lot of great things. But listen, sometimes the work stops because we don't have determination, we don't have discernment, and because we don't have devotion. Listen, James tells us, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. You realize God's not asking you to come all the way to Him. He just says, meet me halfway, because He's a good God. And that devotion with God, that communication and that fellowship with God that you need, that we all need. Why? Because to go on. Listen, the work of Heritage Baptist Church needs to go on. There are lost people, and God is sending us more and more people every day into this place, and we need to draw near to Him. Listen, be determined. I always get scared. I always want to teach a new members class. Those of you who are new members, just listen for just a second. I always want to teach a new members class and not give them the church history and all that. Let pastor do that. But let me teach one lesson. And that lesson is, now that you join, you're going to try to get faithful, and Satan's going to fight against that. And you need to be determined. You need a discernment, right? You need to discern what is for you and what's not for you. But you got to have devotion. You got to draw near to God. You got to have a relationship and fellowship with God. And if not, listen, Satan does not want you to be faithful. He don't want you working in this church. He don't want you passing out flyers. He don't want you to come to Sunday school. He don't want you to come to Wednesday night. He don't want you to come Sunday morning, Sunday night. He definitely doesn't want you at Sunday school. He doesn't want you to sing in the choir. He doesn't want you to do all these things. He wants to get you disillusioned. He wants to get you discouraged. He wants to get you dismayed. He wants to get you out of the way. Why? Because you're one less person He has to deal with. But you better today say, I'm determined. I'm going to use discernment, godly discernment. When things come my way, I want to make sure that it's God bringing it my way and not me bringing it my way. But I'm going to have devotion to God. Every day I'm going to get up and I'm going to read my Bible. Read your Bible, pray every day, right? Old kid song that we all need. We need that devotion to God. Let's stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love You. Thank You for the night, God, that You've given us. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, tonight that the work would go on, and we know that it will. But Lord, I just pray that everybody here tonight would be here next year at this time. Lord, that Satan and the enemies not come and just washed them away because they were not determined, or they didn't use discernment. And Lord, they just didn't have devotion with You. And Father, help us all. Lord, any of us are susceptible to these things, and I just pray that You'd help us tonight. Lord, help us to be determined like Nehemiah was, Lord, just finishing the walls in 52 days, and then when we get to chapter 7 and chapter 8, Lord, we see a great revival break out because of what You did. And Lord, that revival may not have happened if Nehemiah would have gave in. And so, Father, help us tonight. Lord, those that are struggling in these areas, would You give them strength tonight? Lord, would You give them wisdom tonight? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing Him, Jesus Paid All, 157.